U.S. authorities believe that terrorists may turn to new techniques for which the United States is not adequately prepared. It's been called cyber terrorism, information terrorism, sometimes postmodern terrorism. The concern is that hostile groups could eventually make their way into the computer systems that control America's telephone industry, banking system, electric power grids, transportation, other infrastructures. Once inside, terrorists could disrupt services, experts say, causing chaos and many deaths. NPR's Ted Clark reports.
The threat is not imminent, but authorities warn that it will grow as the United States becomes ever more dependent on networked information systems, and as terrorists learn how to navigate in cyberspace and use the techniques of information warfare. Government officials who have studied this issue are encouraging public discussion about it. They want the country to become aware of the emerging danger and prepare for it. This jetliner, leaving Washington's National Airport, will be routed safely to its destination by the air traffic control system, which is not regarded as an attractive target for cyber terrorists. But that could change if hostile groups sniff out vulnerabilities in the advanced computer technology that's now being installed in the system. Experts say the new technology must include defenses against computer viruses, logic bombs, Trojan horses, and other cyber weapons. Terrorists don't need to take down the entire air traffic control system. They need only disrupt it in the right places for the right amount of time, and they could wreak havoc with scheduling. They could raise the chances of a mid-air collision, and they could shake public confidence. Experts worry about America's telecommunications network, too. Wynn Schwartau, the author of Information Warfare and Cyber Terrorism, Second Edition, describes what he might do to the phone system if he were part of a terrorist group.
Let's say I have that hat on. We might want to go after the communications infrastructure to create millions of busy signals throughout Washington, or have every single phone call that's routed to the 202 or 301 area code instead go to a welfare agency in California, so no calls get through. We might want to disconnect the power to several critical switching centers, which would cause collapse within portions of the long-distance services.
All lines busy. Please hold. Your call will be answered when the line is available.
The telecommunications network is indispensable to other infrastructures. Banks transfer funds via the network. Trains are switched to the right tracks. Electric power is sent where it's needed. Natural gas is delivered on schedule, all because the communication system runs smoothly. Roger Molander of the RAND Corporation says even the Defense Department relies on America's public switched network.
Something like 95% of peacetime communications between defense installations takes place over the public switched network. As a consequence, the Department of Defense has a very strong interest in such things as the telecommunications system being fully operational.
In theory, cyber attacks on the telecommunications system and other information networks could be launched from overseas by computer-savvy terrorists at low cost. The oceans that make America a sanctuary against conventional warfare are less helpful when it comes to information warfare. Frank Salufo of the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Making the matter even more difficult is that an intruder can jump, loop and weave is the terminology, from different networks, compromising innocent networks along the way, universities in, say, Germany, universities in Stockholm, so that it makes the audit trail that much more difficult to get back to the true source, the true identity of the attack.
Exploiting vulnerabilities in America's information networks, terrorists might eventually do more harm via computer than they now do with bombs. They might someday target the systems that control electric power grids. Roger Molander.
For example, some perpetrator might be able to create a blackout of the northeastern United States, as took place here some years back. Maintain that blackout for, say, several days in the middle of the winter, you could face a truly disastrous situation where you wouldn't be talking about the tragedy of the deaths of a few hundred people, but maybe thousands of people.
There are experts who think the threat of information terrorism has been exaggerated. Among them is Marcus Ranum, chief scientist of V1 Corporation, an authority on internet security.
The problem with a lot of these high-tech attacks that the information warfare proponents are postulating is they require a great deal of skill. It does not require a great deal of skill to leave a bomb in a bus. It does not require a great deal of skill to build a car bomb. In fact, some of the terrorists that we read about seem to barely have the skill to do that, thank God. The idea of them, you know, hacking into the weather systems and stuff like that is really a little bit far-fetched. And we need to keep things in perspective. I'm much more worried about getting blown up by a bomb than I am by having my ATM network crashed.
But authorities who do see a threat of cyber terrorism point to some worrisome trends. Frank Salufo says the alleged mastermind of the World Trade Center bombing demonstrates that terrorists are becoming more technology literate.
With the apprehension and arrest of Ramzi Youssef, we were made aware that he was using computers and encrypting that technology. So technology is also being used as a tool to facilitate.
Wynn Schwartau points to other trends that show how vulnerable America's infrastructure might be to cyber terrorism. For example, computer viruses did not exist 12 years ago, he says. Now they're a major problem. And then there's computer hacking.
There were no hackers in 1960. Hackers started becoming popular in the old late 70s, early 80s, and now the Department of Defense alone is defending against several millions of attacks every single year. So is the infrastructure and all major corporations throughout the United States. Something that did not used to exist 15, 20 years ago is now a profound problem, not only for what they do, but for what they are capable of doing. It's an issue of capabilities.
Some examples. Hackers entered the security system at Rome Air Force Base in New York and crashed the computers. A group from St. Petersburg, Russia, penetrated Citibank, trying to steal millions. In Atlanta, hackers called the Legion of Doom penetrated the phone system. To help decision-makers understand more clearly the threat of cyber terrorism and information warfare, the RAND Corporation has conducted the cyberspace equivalent of war games, creating a scenario for the year 2000. In these exercises, a Persian Gulf crisis is unfolding. The U.S. military's ability to respond is complicated by a series of strange events.
Telephone service fails across Northern California and Oregon. Fort Lewis, Washington is subjected to a mass dialing attack. A control malfunction causes explosions and a fire in a large Aramco refinery in Saudi Arabia. Iran issues an ultimatum to Saudi Arabia. A high-speed metro liner slams into an apparently misrouted freight train in Maryland.
In this exercise, U.S. troop deployments to the Gulf are jeopardized by the disruptions in transportation and communications. Saudi leaders begin to question whether the U.S. can help them in time. Participants in the game, including senior government and industry representatives, had to sort out whether Iran, radical domestic groups, bad luck, or all three were to blame for the disruptions. And then participants had to ponder the consequences. Roger Molander.
It's a very new subject, and everybody comes in with a little bit of a different take on the problem. Not too many people at these more senior levels are well informed about the problem. But almost invariably, we find that after participating in these exercises, which last for about 5 hours, individuals come away thinking the problem is worse than when they came in.
Decision makers are beginning to focus on this emerging threat. To help shape the discussion, President Clinton signed orders on July 15th creating a commission on critical infrastructure protection. This is Ted Clark in Washington.